This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The U.S. Supreme Court today threw out a voting requirement in Arizona. That requirement tells voters that they have to supply proof of citizenship at the time they register to vote in order to be eligible to cast a ballot at the polls. Georgia has a very similar requirement, which was signed by Governor Sonny Perdue in May of 2009. Joining us now is Emmett Bondurant. He is with Bondurant, Mixon, and Elmore, and he has filed numerous lawsuits over the years against some of Georgia's voter ID laws. Mr. Bondurant, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you.
This decision was 7-2, and Justice Antonin Scalia was writing for the majority. It seems, in my quick reading of it, that the decision really focused on whether the federal law that was already in place trumped the Arizona law that came along later. In other words, a fairly technical decision. Is that how you read it, too, or did the court get into whether or not this is a burden on voters?
It did not get into the question of burden. It is a preemption case based on the 1992 National Voter Registration Act that sets forth requirements for registration of voters in federal elections by prescribing what is called the federal form, which is a standard form containing all the information required for a voter to register to vote in federal elections in a particular state. What the court held was that while the Constitution gives the states the power to prescribe the qualifications of voters, that is, whether a voter must be 18 or 21, or whether a voter must meet certain other qualifications, such as not having been convicted of a felony or being mentally incompetent, the states can prescribe those, but then the federal form prescribes the information that a voter has to provide in order to show compliance with those requirements. What Arizona tried to do was to, in effect, add information not on the federal form by requiring that a voter provide proof of citizenship, whereas the federal form required that the voter state under oath that he or she was a citizen of the United States.
So in other words, the court was saying, okay, Arizona, we've set out what information the voter needs to provide, and you can't go beyond that. Is that pretty much it?
That is correct. As far as proof of compliance with the state registration requirements, of which U.S. citizenship was one. So the federal form simply said if a voter fills out a form under penalty of perjury that says, I am a U.S. citizen, that complies, and that the state of Arizona could not say, no, that's not sufficient. We want you to provide a birth certificate, or we want you to provide one of five dozen other pieces of information in order to prove that you really, really, really are a U.S. citizen.
Now, Georgia has similar requirements, acceptable IDs like a Georgia driver's license number, a birth certificate, a U.S. passport, naturalization documents. So how do you think this decision applies to Georgia?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the Supreme Court decision invalidates the Georgia statute as it currently exists. I gather the Secretary of State has already issued a press release expressing, quote, disappointment in the Supreme Court ruling, which I take it is the equivalent of a concession that the Georgia statute is currently written is unconstitutional.
Yeah, in the words of Secretary of State Kemp, I am very disappointed with the decision that the U.S. Supreme Court made today. I will work closely with Governor Deal, the General Assembly, and Attorney General Olins to make sure we continue to provide a safe, secure, and legal system for voter registration as we move forward. So does that mean, from your point of view, that you would expect that they'll simply stop requiring these documents, or do you plan, for instance, to go to court to sue against Georgia's law?
You would hope that the Attorney General, reading a Supreme Court opinion that is quite clear that a current Georgia statute is unconstitutional, will so advise the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State would cease enforcing that portion of the statute, so it would be unnecessary for a citizen to sue to challenge the constitutionality. Obviously, if the state disregards the Supreme Court decision and says, sue me, someone will step up and do it. Whether I will be involved with it or not remains to be seen, but it would be a really unwise and unnecessary decision. One of the things this Supreme Court decision says is that there is a procedure under the National Voter Registration Act for a state to apply to the federal government to include additional information that is state-specific on the federal form for that state. And if the Election Commission, which is a federal commission, approves it, then the official federal form will be modified to include that additional information. But the state of Arizona had not made such an application, and I assume that it is also true of the state of Georgia that it has not made such an application because the information is not currently on the federal form. So there is the possibility that if the state feels that you cannot trust the affidavit of a voter under oath under penalties of perjury and the potential of a 5-year federal criminal sentence when he swears that he or she is a citizen, then the state may try to apply to the federal commission for permission to modify the federal form to require, for example, a birth certificate or a driver's license or something of the sort. So that possibility remains open if the state wants to go through that process and can convince the federal commission that that is not an undue burden that offsets the basic purposes of the National Voter Registration Act, which was to maximize voter registration, admittedly, of legitimate voters, not of fraudulent voters, by adding a burden that will deter many people from even taking advantage of the federal act.
This decision applies to federal elections. Is there anything from your point of view that would say the state cannot have these same requirements for state elections? Or are federal elections so often mixed with state elections that it's just going to be impossible for the state to enforce anything on its own?
I think that's an open question, Dennis. It seems to me this decision does apply only to federal elections because it is based on Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution and the power of Congress to make or alter state election regulations for members of the House of Representatives and the Senate. But I think practical considerations would mandate that the state have the same registration requirements and the same proof of identity in order to register. Otherwise, the state is going to have to keep, in effect, two sets of registrations, one for state elections in which additional requirements exist and another for federal elections in which the filing the information with the federal form is sufficient.
And the counties would probably have to have two sets of ballots even because, let's take 2014, which is coming up, you have congressional elections, which are federal elections, and you also have some state elections coming up, and it would be really difficult, it would seem to me, from a practical point of view.
It would be a mess. The county would have to maintain a separate voter registration database. As you know, when you go vote now, Georgia now has a statewide voter registration database so that when you fill out the forms at the polls, they check on a computer to see that you are registered to vote, and that is a statewide database. Well, essentially, you'd have to have two statewide databases, one for federal elections and one for state elections. And since federal elections and state elections are customarily, both as primaries and general elections, held on the same day to cut down the expense, it would be an administrative nightmare. But if a state were determined enough to be idiosyncratic and assert its state's rights to have different standards for state elections, and were prepared to spend millions or tens of millions of dollars to do it, I suppose it could do it.
everyone is watching the Supreme Court this week to see what it rules on the Voting Rights Act, which applies, of course, to Georgia and other states in the South. Does this decision give us any clue, or is this one so technical that it's hard to tell what it will rule on the Voting Rights Act?
I don't know that it gives you a clue. I think that would be reading tea leaves beyond my competence. One thing this case does do, and it's buried in a footnote, but it is perhaps the most significant part of the case, it casts doubt on the federal legislation that required states to reduce the voting age from 21 to 18 so that 18-year-olds could register. That is footnote 8 of the opinion that casts serious doubt on the continued validity of a prior Supreme Court case whose name is Mitchell. The court doesn't decide the issue, but that is a little ticking time bomb hidden in a footnote that if some state wanted to go back, as Georgia did prior to 1944, and require that someone be 21 years old to register, that could be a serious question. The reason Congress passed the 18-year-old registration was that the United States was drafting 18-year-olds to go fight and die in World War II, and it was thought, it seems to me quite logically, that if you were going to say someone was old enough to carry an M1 rifle and die in the Battle of the Bulge or on Iwo Jima, that they should have been given an opportunity to vote in federal elections and in state elections. But that was widely fought, particularly within southern states, on the theory it was going to result in increased registration of black voters. And southern senators, among others, widely opposed that federal legislation when it was passed in 1943 or 1944. But this case in footnote 8, I think, is raising questions as to whether that legislation is in fact constitutional.
Emmett Bondurant is an attorney with Bondurant, Mixon, and Elmore, and he has brought a number of lawsuits over the years against Georgia's voter ID laws. Mr. Bondurant, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dennis.